fun Christmas song.
Yay! Well, Father, Lord God, first, Lord, I just thank you, Father, just for getting us all here safely. We thank you for family from coming out of state, just to want to be here with us, Lord, and it's such a blessing just to be able to see the people that we love and their family as well, Lord. So I just pray that you bless this time with us all together, Lord, and I just pray that we have all of us just have a great Christmas, Lord God. I pray that our spirit just completely listens to you. Father, I pray that, you know, sometimes when it's a bunch of family together, who knows what can happen. But, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you have dominion over everything and that we just submit to you and we cover everything in love and patience. And, Father, help us to be such a display of your love, Lord God. Amen.
Amen.
Feel free to stand.
Get up.
I put it there?
Yeah. Okay.
I was just trying to take a break. I've got an ever angel singing glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sin is reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born. Thank you.
Lord God, as we're singing this morning, we're praising you. I love hearing all of these voices, Lord God, just singing these refrains. Lord God, I can only just imagine. I love choir music, Lord, because I think about heaven, Father, and how all of our voices joined together are going to be, Lord. Thank you for giving us a little of a glimpse, Father, and I just praise you for that, Lord. We thank you for giving us something to sing about, Father. Jesus' name, Lord. This little baby, Lord God, we know he grows up to be an example and to die for us and take our sin away, Lord God. But just help us as we're celebrating that moment, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Virgin, mother, and child, holy and
Lord God, once again, we just thank you for giving us your Son, Lord God. And through him, Lord God, you give us freedom and then eternal life, Lord. We just praise you for that. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Very glad you're here. There's still a couple seats up here, or you have the floor, which is where I like to sit. I'm not up here. So come on down. Still have room. Very glad you're here.
Yes, that's all. Thank you.
There's room for everybody. We will make room. Well, we're very glad you're here, and we're very thankful that you're here. And if you're wondering why I'm stalling, I'm praying, and I'm asking what the Lord wants to do and in what order. Okay, so first, I'm going to do something a little different, okay? We're going to talk a little bit about Christmas, and then in a little while, Gary's going to come up here, and Gary's going to give the message for Christmas this morning, and I don't know what he's going to do, so please pray for him and me, because I'm scared, and excited about it. I wanted to give you guys a minute, you know, as a Christian, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christmas takes on a sort of a different meaning. Do you know what I'm saying? Or at least it does for me. And so I wanted to see if there was anything this Christmas, we're just going to take just a couple of minutes, and what does Christmas mean to you? Has God put something on your heart this Christmas that you would want to share? And if not, there's zero pressure. But what does Christmas as a believer, as a born-again believer, mean to you? How do you see it? How do you see it differently? Does anybody want to say anything? Now is your chance. You want to take a minute to share. Mark, I can't believe you have something to share.
I see some folks here this morning that I haven't seen in a while, and what it represents to me is the manifestation of God's truth in our lives. Healing has taken place. People are able to come and spend time here when just a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, they were in the hospital. But prayers were set up on their behalf, and God manifested his word. His word is true. He speaks no careless word. All he says is purest truth, like silver, seven times refined. And he will forever preserve his own and keep us from the reach of evil.
Good morning. Okay, you can talk. Anybody else? Just raise your hand.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Every year at Christmas time, I get a renewed feeling of grace. I know that I have been forgiven. And I know the Lord has planned for my life. It's not that I don't feel it every day, but Christmas time is very special. I see him in the manger, but I also see him on the cross. And he has forgiven all of our sins. Everyone. And that word needs to be spread. Every person I see, every person I meet. And at Christmas time, it's special.
Good word. Anybody else? Right there? You can just climb over. It's okay. Just climb right over. We're pretty friendly. Right, okay. Informal.
I've been reminded again this year, and it's a wonderful time of the year to remember the gift of God when he sent Jesus to this earth to save us. But I'm reading a book right now, and it's just in the beginning. I'm just in the beginning of the book, but it's really called Unimaginable. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's a book by a guy named Jeremiah Johnson. And it talks about what the world was like before Christ, what the world became like when Jesus came and the church came, and what it's like today. And right now I'm really on the portion of what it was like before Christianity. And it was horrible. It was really a terrible, terrible place. Disease was rampant throughout the whole Middle East, and it was a very demonic. There was a lot of demonic activities, paganism, and of course idol worship. But then God sent His Son Jesus, and it made all the difference in the world, and it radically changed our world. So I'm looking forward to reading the rest of the book and to see all the wonderful changes. But I'm just saying that I'm focusing this year on the difference that Christ has made in my life and my husband's life since he came into our life and he made himself known to us. So I hope that all of us can really focus on that. Not about the holiday or anything, it's about what the difference, what a gift Christ was to us personally, and to rejoice in that this year.
Yes, John.
I was just thinking too with Christmas, you know, on most birthdays that we celebrate, we give a gift to the ones whose birthday it is that we're celebrating, you know. But I just think of how awesome that how Jesus gave his life for us, you know, and yet we give gifts to each other. You know, that spirit of giving just continues on. Even as commercialized as Christmas has become, there's just so much grace and love, and we just look forward to it. And I was just thinking, too, that, you know, he gave his life. There's nothing we can do or give to him except acknowledge and accept him into our heart, you know. And I just think for Christmas time, what a great time to reflect, to think and ponder. Where are we at with the Lord? You know, there's many of us here today. And, you know, I just remember when I came to the Lord, I was so broken, so empty, just needed His love. And when I experienced that, my life changed completely. And I would just encourage anybody here today that isn't walking with the Lord, that hasn't accepted the Lord into their heart, the greatest gift is just to take His gift that He's given us, and that's life everlasting. So oftentimes we think we have to fix things in our lives. We have to become perfect in order to become a Christian. And that's just such a lie.
Yeah.
He wants you right where you're at. And I just pray, I would just ask that you would just accept the Lord into your heart. You know, as you hear the message today about Gary preaching, but it is the greatest gift ever that I have ever received. And that was a brand new life in Him and made whole and complete. And I just encourage you, those that aren't walking with the Lord, those that have never accepted the Lord in their heart, just to take this time to reflect on what this gift is that Jesus gave to us.
Amen.
Yeah, this is not about a church. It's not about, per se, you know, particular church buildings. It's not about particular this little body of believers or whatever. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about even family, really. It's really about Jesus. That's what it's all about. And Jesus changes lives. See, He changes hearts and lives, right? Listen, I'm not going to do that. No pastor is going to change your life for you. No church building is going to change a life for you. Jesus is the one that's going to transform your life. That's why He said you must be born again. There's a second birth. When Nicodemus came to see Jesus, he's like, oh, what are you talking about? He needs born from above, the Holy Spirit, new birth, new life in Him. And listen, I just want you to look around. I'm going to ask those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ, who just given your life over to him. How many people here has Jesus saved your life? Just raise your hand for just a moment. Look at these hands. Hallelujah. This is a God. Our God changes lives. That's what he does. He changes directions. Isn't that amazing? That's who he is. And that's what he wants to do for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, well, we have a few announcements quickly to go over, and I'm going to probably skip most of them this week and get right to Gary. Okay, again, just, let me skip that. Okay, we do have lots of free Panera Bread last night. We have about 2 bags full of loaves of bread, fresh Panera Bread from last night. Loaves, we've got baguettes, we've got all sorts of stuff in that corner over there, and we've got a whole other bag full of bagels, all Panera, just a few $100 worth. They gave us the whole kit caboodle, just to give away to you guys in Jesus' name. So take a bag home to your family. It's all free. We don't want anything. We just want to give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name. All right? So, of course, grab it after church. We don't take up any tithes and offerings, but we do receive them in a little bird box in the back. Again, I'm going to skip this little thing, but good Christian, we start at this time. We'll skip through these, so we're just going to go right past them if you don't mind. We'll hand out some resources next week. Again, Sunday mornings, if you want to join us for prayer, I was so excited since Gary was teaching, I get to be here for prayer time, and I loved it. So if you want to meet here about 9, or sometimes we get started about 9:30 for prayer, we'd love to have you here. Tuesday, we're going through the book of 2 Samuel.
Not this Tuesday.
Is it next Tuesday?
A week from.
Okay, don't listen to me at all.
January 2nd.
Okay, January 2nd. Okay, this Wednesday, though, we're going to have somebody who's nice enough is going to bless us to clean all these carpets. You know, God has really blessed us. Uncle Tom was here yesterday. We had a hot water heater burst, of course. Twitch. Anyway, Chris was nice enough to install it for us, and Tom was nice enough to vacuum up some of the water, and someone else is going to be blessing us with steam cleaning some of the stuff in here, and we're so thankful. So we got to be out of here this week. So on Wednesday for the youth group, we'll be roasting hot dogs and marshmallows outside, Josh and Amanda Panda, and doing the Bible study outside. And so we're going to be doing that on Wednesday. And then Thursday, we are not going to have a normal barbecue and Bible study because we have to let all that stuff dry because they're going to be steam cleaning the place. But next week, we'll be starting our regular barbecue and Bible study back up on Thursday nights. So I'm going to skip this real quick. Wait for next week. Okay. Continue to pray for those who are baptized in their body. Normally, we go through the Word verse by verse. We're in the book of Colossians. But, Jim, would you come up here for a second? Come on up here for a second. Now, this is how Jim normally dresses.
Jim!
Now listen. I'm not a big Santa fan. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. I'm not a big Santa fan. Because of what the world has made Santa Claus into, it's more about getting stuff for yourself, and it's commercialism, and it's buy this and buy that, and elves and the North Pole. But really, Santa Claus was based off of a wonderful man who loved the Lord, who loved Jesus with all of his heart, and his name was Saint Nicholas. Would you happen to be able to tell us something about him, Jim? That's incredible. So before we get started, would you take a minute?
Sure. Okay, I didn't know much about St. Nicholas itself. I just grew up known as Santa Claus. Okay, and then I read the story here, and I thought it was really inviting. St. Nicholas was born in circa 280 in Patera, Cilicia, an area that is part of present-day Turkey. He lost both of his parents as a young man and reportedly used his inheritance to help the poor and sick. A devout Christian, he later served as bishop of Myra, a city that is now called Dimri. There are many legends about St. Nicholas of Myra. One story tells how he helped 3 poor sisters. Their father did not have enough money to pay their dowries, and thought of selling them into servitude three times. St. Nicholas secretly went to their home at night and put bags of money inside. The man used the money so that one of his daughters could marry. On the third visit, the man saw St. Nicholas and thanked him for his kindness. He also reportedly saved three men who were falsely imprisoned and sentenced to death. Several sources state St. Nicholas is believed to have died on December 6, 343. Over the years, stories at his miracles and work for the poor spread to other parts of the world. He became known as the protector of children and sailors and was associated with gift giving. He was a popular saint in Europe until the time of the Reformation in the 1500s, a religious movement that led to the creation of Protestantism, which turned away from the practice of honoring saints. St. Nicholas, however, remained an important figure in Holland. The Dutch continued to celebrate the feast of the day of St. Nicholas, December 6th. It was a common practice for children to put out their shoes the night before. In the morning, they would discover the gifts that St. Nicholas had left there for them. Dutch immigrants brought the legend of St. Nicholas, known to them as Sint Nicholas, or by his nickname, Sinterklaas, to America in the 1700s. They still practice this over in Dutch. St. Nicholas went through many transformations in America. Sinterklaas became Santa Claus, and instead of giving gifts on December 6th, he became a part of the Christmas holiday. In the 1820s, poem on account of a visit from St. Nicholas by Clement Clark Moore. He is described as jolly, heavy man who comes down the chimney. This is not padded either. To leave presents for deserving children and drives a sleigh pulled by flying reindeer. The cartoonist Thomas Nast added to the St. Nicholas legend with an 1881 drawing of Santa as wearing a red suit and white fur trim. Once a kind, charitable bishop, St. Nicholas had become the Santa Claus we know today. And to me, this kind of, I like to be able to help those who are in need. My wife and I were out. We saw a homeless man who was in his 90s. His shoes were just tattered. He didn't have no socks or anything. And at the time, the weather was like 38 degrees, and wind chill was right around 20. And we were in the Goodwill at the time. And so my wife went and got him some socks, and I found a pair of shoes for him. And it just lifted my heart that God said, hey, we need to do something for this man. He needs help. So to me, giving is the true meaning of Christmas. And it fulfills your heart. And that's the reason, one of the things why I like dressing up as Santa Claus, because I like to be able to give and make people happy and joyful. Thank you. Good job. All right, Gary, you want to come up and we're going to pray for you? We're going to see what the Lord had put on your heart that you wanted to surprise us with. Come here, brother, we're just going to pray for you. Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, amazing body that you've just allowed us to be a part of, Lord. I even think of the missionaries that came on Thursday night, Lord, and spoke and just said how welcome they felt here and how comfortable. And it was just so nice, Lord God. I thank you for that, Lord. That's your spirit, Lord God. Lord, I thank you that we can give each other gifts because remember the greatest gift that you've given us, Father God, is your Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood shed for us, Lord God, at Calvary. Thank you for that, Lord God. We wouldn't be who we are without you, Lord God. Thank you for that. We ask that you would bless your people here today, Lord God. We ask in Jesus Christ's name, Lord, by the blood of the Lamb, that you would anoint Gary's tongue, Lord, anoint him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Lord God, that your words would be said, Lord God. Whatever you want said, whatever you put on his heart, Lord God, that it would come through.
So help them today, Lord God, as we give us listening ears to hear what you have to say to us. We ask this in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Am I on, George? Yep. Okay, Darren has reason to be frightened. Josh, Tom, would you take Lisa and Darren with you for a couple of minutes so we can talk without them?
We got the cops too.
Everybody wants to
get out of here. Okay, can I have your attention, please? What we're doing here, I can look around the room, and I know a lot of the people that Pastor Darren and Lisa have touched your life. And that in ways sometimes immeasurable. And we don't often get a chance to say thank you. We probably should have done this a couple of weeks ago when we did. I'd like to, actually the leadership team, we'd like to take up a good offering and then a bank offering for Darren and Lisa. And since nobody is warned about it, we'll do this weekend, this Sunday and next Sunday. So if you want to bring something next Sunday. And we're not going to pass around the plate. You know, that's not our style. So if you take the offering envelopes in the back and just put Pastor Dean, and Lisa on that, we'll know that that's meant for the offering for them. And that. So if you do that, then you know how much they mean to all of us. And, you can't, the gift doesn't always say thank you for that, but maybe the best that we can do. And that's anyway, if you join us in that. Okay, George, you want to turn the speakers back on. We'll invite them back. Chris, maybe would you step outside and tell them the ball's clear? And then I'd love to have all the kids, anyone who feels young, come on up front here. We're going to tell a Christmas story. Today is the day we're going to tell a Christmas story. If you feel young, you're welcome to join us up here, but you're responsible for getting yourself up. Let's see, George, can you draw a PowerPoint up? Okay, come on up. You guys like Christmas stories?
Yes.
How many of y'all know the story of the Grinch who stole presents? His heart was too small, so he stole Christmas, but in the end he got Christmas in his heart. Well, today we're gonna tell you the story about his cousin, the Grinch, who stole real Christmas. You've heard of his cousin Grinch, who stole Christmas in a sack, but his heart grew in the end, and he gave it all back. But unlike his cousin, the Grinch knew his place. His heart wasn't too small. Oh no, his tiny heart simply lacked grace. His miserable mission was clear from the start. He'd lie, cheat, and steal the hope that was present in every new heart. Christmas was coming, the youth's favorite time of the year. They'd celebrate Jesus and breathe of great cheer. As much as the youth loved the message of grace, the Grinch hated each smile found on every new face. I'll find a way to ruin Christmas for once and for all. For hadn't that been his mission ever since the fall? Thinking was hard for the Grinch. He grimaced and groaned. He huffed and he moaned.
Finally, his face contorted into a ferocious snort. If the youths like Christmas so much, I'll give them more, more, and still more. If his plan was to work, it would need to be clever. So the Grinch's mean mind came up with the worstest plan ever. Kids, what do you think that might be? So he spent the next few days watching you, you, and you, paying special attention to the things that you look, say, and do. His plan was mean, so nasty and scary. He helped you use Christmas, but take all the merry. Whatever meant most to each you girl and boy, they get more, more, and more until they lost all their joy. This is nasty. Grunch had stolen Christ out of Christmas, taken Jesus out of the manger, and replaced him with more, more, and more. A most terrible danger. The Grunch's face twisted into a slimy smirk. I have no time to enjoy. Must get back to my work. So he exercised his oversized deceiver. It must be ready to answer all the whys, to sell the Christmas lies I'll give to any you believers. Isn't that how he works? He lies to us. He started with Miss Limpy Hue, who baked Christmas cookies, red, green, and blue. Grunch posted on Facebook, suggested giving cookies to neighbors and friends. Soon, Lindy Yu found herself baking around the clock without ends. Her oven was stuffed from morning till night. Each day she made cookies, dozen more, more, and still more. By the week before Christmas, she was grumpy and sore. I'm still making cookies for friends who don't care. I won't give them a one, not a bite. So there! Well, the Grunch relished his win over now blue Lindy Yu, for her Christmas was spoiled by her troubles and toils. Baking cookies for friends no longer seemed cool. She'd skip Christmas this year, she thought with a tear. No one will make me their Christmas fool. Wow. What do you guys think happened next? Oh, scary. From his mountaintop hideout, the Grunch glared down at Yuville. He would find another you and give him more Christmas, too. And the Grunch spotted Bobby Yu admiring his Christmas display. There were many, many lights, some flashing, some plain. And it made a Santa on the rooftop, calling out reindeer by name. Tucked in a corner was a manger, not overly big or importantly made. Thought the Grunch to himself, I'll fix this used Christmas train. As Bobby admired his colorful display, the Grunch silently, sneakily studied his prey. And Grunch thought to himself, pulling Bobby Yu over the top will be easy to do. I'll send a home center ad full of Christmas decor. When it reads it, he'll want more, more, and still more. And that's just how it happened to good Bobby Yu. The ad flyer inspired lots of things he could and would do. Blow-ups, animated figures, more lights he would add. He had the most decorated house in Yuville, even if it cost the last Yu dollar he had. Every free hour he had was spent adding more and more and still more until it became one big tiresome chore. The final straw came when neighbor Hugh Yu suggested even more he could do. That does it. No one appreciates one bit. No more Christmases for them, and he cut the power and left Christmas unlit. Well, the Grunch was happy, at least as happy as a Grunch could be. If you looked at him closely, a smiley, wily sneer you'd see. He considered that his plan was working quite well. The more the youths got, the more that they wanted. As they shopped to and fro, their credit card balances continued to grow, grow, and grow. I bet some of you parents know about that. But grown-ups weren't the only ones in the Grunch sights. He went after kiddos too, down to the smallest of mites, like you. Young Betty Yu would be the next to get grunched. Her Christmas list was short and sweetie, a doll for herself and a collar for her puppy Petey. totally unacceptable sneered Crutch. Before I'm through, the Betty U Christmas list will total 102. Every show that she watched, every friend that she'd call, added yet another item to her list, conveniently available at Uville Mall. The Crutch was happy. You could tell by its sneer. I'll stress on her parents now that Christmas is near. Don't like this Crutch. Betty U's parents were puzzled and sore. Why would their happy little U child want more and more and still more? What they didn't know, and they couldn't see, was the Grunch tempting sweet Betty U with all the toys in the store, and online too. Finally, U parents had had quite enough. They took all her presents in a mad, angry huff, tossed them all in a sack. In a matter of minutes, they sent them all back. There'll be no Christmas in our house this season. Little Betty used greed as the reason. Oh, wouldn't that be sad? One by one, the U's fell for the Grunch's call for more and more and still more, and their faces grew somber, forgetting the Christmas love they had from before. Instead of greeting each U friend with a cheer, they scowled at each other. What do you want here? With Christmas just days away, the U's trudged on with more shopping and baking. But it wasn't about giving, it was all about taking. They shopped more and did more until they couldn't stand anymore. Instead of celebrating the birth of the Savior, they fell victims to the strangest behavior. Has anybody ever seen anything like this? Now the Grunch poured it on. He loved watching U's run from task to task. It was better than fun. By the time Christmas came and all the U tasks were done, there would be no room for celebrating the birth of a son. No prayers, no worship, no scripture this season. And the Grinch was the only one who knew the real reason. Yet even as most Jews rushed madly about, there were still a few Jews who wouldn't give up to the sign and call of shopping galore that called out to Jews through every Jew store. They studied God's word and kept Christ in Christmas. To them, Christmas was merry, more than merry, very merry. Very. A few days before Christmas, as most youths scurried in a last-minute flurry of hurry, 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 there were still a few youths who gathered for worship and prayer. Peaceful and loving, gathered they without word. Their pastor, daring you, spoke of the child in the manger who replaced the false danger. The babe put a smile on the face of every youth who skipped the rat race. The Grunch grimaced and scowled as he watched the display, as the faithful youths worshipped and prayed. For Grunch knew that if the youths kept Christ in Christmas, that they'd never capture, that he'd never capture their hearts, minds, or souls. The Grunch knew he was beaten. No victory would be won. It was over because God gave his only son. Despite all the youth hurries, the gifts that merely flattered, Jesus in the manger was the only gift that really if anyone needs a Bible, Joe, would you be good enough to pass out some Bibles for me? Yeah, raise your hand if you need a Bible. We're going to cover two passages today. The first one, and these are both passages that we all know. Matthew 1. Open your Bibles to Matthew 1. Matthew 1. Beginning with verse 18. If I could have a reader, who'd like to volunteer to read? Chris, I'm sorry.
Get the mic?
Yeah, that's here.
Hey, yeah.
Yep. With the rustling of pages, stop. Chris, would you read chapter 1, verses 18 through and including 25?
Matthew chapter 1.
verses 18 through and including 25.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought of these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord of the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him into his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Now the second passage is the one from Luke in chapter 2. We could have another reader, somebody who's a little bit long with it, because it's you want to read 1 through 21. Luke chapter 2.
I didn't say.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, peace to men, of whom his favor rests. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Gloria. These are the two passages that address the birth of Jesus. And I found a few interesting facts that you might enjoy knowing. And first, in verse 1, talks about the census. And what I didn't realize was not only was it a census, but they also took taxed people at that time. That typical. And it was count them and collect them at the same time. And that one commentary I looked at said that that this was something that happened every 14 years. The road, the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem was approximately 80 miles. Now, I've never traveled with a pregnant lady on a donkey, thankfully. Mary Kay's probably even more thankful of that than I am, but you know. But I'm guessing that you're probably looking at what, a 4-5 day journey,
at least.
This, you know, I mean, this is serious. This isn't like us, you know, zipping down to, you know, Fort Myers, you know, in an hour or so on the interstate. This is a serious trip for them. And so it was the whole process of this story, this passage. I hate the word story because these aren't stories. This is, you know, we've gone from fiction to fact, and we need to remember that. The whole process here is condensed in this chapter. You know, we look at it and think it all happened, you know, in a matter of hours. No, it did. This happened in a matter of days, weeks, that this all took place. The other thing was that Mary did not have to go. Mary could have easily, Joseph could have gone and registered for his whole family. He was allowed to do that. And yet, Mary chose to go along. Now, whether, that doesn't say, we can speculate whether it was because Mary didn't want to be without Joseph when she was giving birth, whether the Lord told her to go to Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. We don't know. And what we do know is that it fulfilled prophecy. You know, in Micah 5:2 says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Now, you know, whether the Lord wanted Mary to go to Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy, or whether he just saw what she did and prophesied it earlier, because time is meaningless to the Lord. But it's interesting that it fulfilled prophecy. You know, and what are the odds on that happening on some? Normally, we think that she would stay home. Verse 8, it talks about the flocks, right? And it's quite possible that there were more flocks near Bethlehem in that because they wanted them for use as sacrifices, daily sacrifices in the temple. So some of these sheep might have been meant for sacrificial purposes, not just for feeding the people. In verse 16, it talks that they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph. They're talking about the shepherds there. And the word "found" in the Hebrew means after a search. They actually had to make an effort. What was right there in front of them? They had to make the effort to find the Christ child. And then evidently they thought it was worthy of that effort because they did find the Christ child. Now, when I started this, I felt the Lord that he wanted it to be a corollary to the, you know, let's not lose Christmas for all the hustle and bustle and stuff. And, you know, the people, in the, I was looking for people in the biblical account that missed the Savior because of all the things around them. It occurred to me that the people walking, you know, if they had a 4-day journey to Bethlehem, right, they probably found people to walk along with them along the way. And they probably had conversations. Right. Now, if I'm being called to Bethlehem and I've got to walk 4 or 5 days, 80 miles to pay tax, I'm going to grumble. She can verify that for you in case you're wondering. Right? And, you know, especially if the Romans aren't around, you would think some of the people were probably focused on, you know, that I don't want to be here, I'm losing business, I'm away from my family, they're taking my money, all of this stuff. And they might have been walking right next to Mary on a donkey. who's about to have the Savior of the world here, they might have easily missed what happened. You think of some of the people that the shepherds went to. Right? The shepherds, they said that the shepherds shared this among all the people. Right? Yeah. There's nothing saying here that said that all were amazed at what the shepherds said. It doesn't say that all believed what the shepherds said. I'm sure some people looked at it and go, let's see, what she claims to be a virgin, the Holy Spirit came upon her and brought a Savior. I'm sure a lot of people went, yeah, I'll believe that one next Tuesday on somebody the Brooklyn Bridge in the meantime. And they missed it. So I was looking for that, but you know, what I think came to after studying is that it was true for some, and it's true today for some people. Some people are going to miss Jesus because they're, you know, they're instead of being in church this morning, they're on Amazon. It is, it's true. You know, or they're, you know, we went by Toys R Us last night, the parking lot was full. Unfortunately, we didn't have to go in. We just drove by. But you know, so there's some people that they have no interest. They're willfully missing it. Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking too.
You don't have the mic right now.
You know, I was just thinking of something too as you're talking about that. You know, a lot of people probably did. They traveled right with them, right next to them. So, to me, that could even mean that folks are coming to church and they're right there. Jesus is right there, and they're still completely missing who He is. How important it is for us to recognize who the Lord is. That's what we need.
Yeah. Exactly. The other that I found fascinating, the passage where it says there is no room at the inn. If you go to if you look at the original words, right, inn is actually a word, the cataluma, okay, which means guest chamber. Right? And it talks about putting the babe in a manger. Now we have a picture of it, we have one on our front yard. Right? It looks like a stable. It looks like, you know, a baby. In a raised feeding trough type of thing, similar to what we would have today. That's probably not what happened. Okay? And we think, in my mind, I was thinking, oh yeah, people in the inn, they, you know, no room at the inn. No, we don't want this pregnant woman here. Get out in the barn. Right? That was what was going through my mind. Okay? But it was probably more likely. The inn, they say the room, that the word that was translated into us actually means guest room. And most peasants in Palestine at that time, and had lived in one or two room homes, right? And the front room, there was actually a lower portion. There was one floor, and then a short distance down was a portion where they actually kept the animals at night. Now, to us, you're looking at, I don't mind sleeping with my dog, but I really don't want a dog to be in my bedroom. You call me fussy, but you know. But for them, it made sense. One, that way they wouldn't have to, you know, a donkey, that was their main possession. That made a big difference between whether you lived or died, the safety of that donkey. So if you had it inside, it wasn't going to get stolen. The floor was a little bit lower so they could sweep it out in the morning. And a manger, at that time, was often a hollowed out space in the floor. And that. So that's probably what they're talking about here. Now it says no room at the inn. If the person's house, if they were a little better off, they would have a guest room, spare bedroom to us today, and that they would have a second room in the house. Now Joseph and Mary coming, it's quite probable that the guest room was already taken by somebody who had gotten there first, and so they stayed with the family in the main room of the house. So it wasn't, they weren't being chased away. What I think the Lord is showing us here is that, you know, now, and Gail Irwin does a marvelous riff on this, if you want to find it, I'm sure it's on YouTube. in that, right? If I was God bringing Jesus into the world, it'd be the Ritz-Carlton, man. Top floor, you know, the presidential suite, room service and all, you know, and lights on the roof, of course. That's not what God did. And what the Lord did was he brought Jesus to simple folks. Simple folks in that face. That's who he cares about. All the simple folks in this world. In fact, the rich young ruler proves that wealth and fame may be actually harder for us to hear the message. You know, we tend to get caught in all the stuff and activities, and we don't pay attention to Christmas. So probably it was easier for the shepherds and the family and that, because they were simple people. The shepherds are interesting too, because shepherds, as I understand it, the Shepherd Reads the 23rd Psalm. It's a great book. I knew about it for years and finally read it when Pastor D was passing it out here, I don't know, a year ago, whenever that was. And that fascinating. Those people, they have to be very practical. Yeah, it's not, you just kind of sit around a rock and wait for a lion to show up. That's not it at all. I mean, they have a very full, practical, hard life. These are dreamers. And that, you know, for practical people like that to see an angel come to them, and that it's fascinating to me, you know, that they would touch and believe. Something else that fascinates me about that is that it says that they were terrified. The angel tells them, don't be terrified, right? Which means that they must have been terrified. Now, granted, see an angel, they're scary. They're not little wing creatures like they have on the Hallmark Channel. But it's fascinating to me that the shepherds were somewhat, I don't know, that they were afraid of the angels. And yet, it doesn't say, now they may have been, but when they come before the baby Jesus, it doesn't say that they were afraid. And I have to think that is because the Lord's love is so big, that they knew that they were in the presence of ultimate, complete love. And we don't need to be afraid of the Lord's love. It is so big. It is so big. I'm also fascinated. It said that, you know, the shepherds told all the villagers. And I wonder how many people heard and didn't believe, and how many they're all amazed by this story. Well, yeah, the stories I've heard about them, yeah, that's amazing, and I don't believe it for a minute. And I wonder how many of the villagers felt that way. It's fascinating too that the people who came to see Jesus, at least according to the account, I'm sure others did, were the poor shepherds and the mystics. And one thing they have in common, one were the lowliest, dealing with herding animals, but the other were mystics and thinkers, and you know, they were used to being around kings. Because King Herod actually sent for the mystics, or the mystics came, and King Herod talked to the mystics. Right? The wise men, magi, I'm calling you mystics, magi. But it's fascinating. The one thing they have in common, totally separate, the one thing they have in common is that they both sought Jesus. They wanted to find the Messiah. And the Lord made it possible for them to do that. And that's a lesson for us. I think any one of us here, if we really want to find the Messiah, the Lord will help us do that. If we want to find the Messiah, the Lord is going to close the door on us. That's just not going to happen. Fascinating too, that, you know, the Jews at the time, they were looking for Messiah. They were. And the vast majority of them missed him. The vast majority of them missed him. And I wonder sometimes too, that in our society, I don't know if it's true in other places in the world, but in our society, I wonder if we're looking for a Messiah, if we're not looking for the Messiah. And I can watch the news, and I can look for a solution there? Maybe a Messiah to me, but it is not the Messiah. So, for those of us, right, we're expecting Messiah at Christmas. Right? And we know that Christmas Day isn't the actual birthday of Jesus. It probably was sometime in September, and that and I won't get into it. It's based on Mary's cousin's Elizabeth's birth cycle, and that and when who's her husband? I'm blanking on his name.
Zechariah.
And then, but John the Baptist's birth. But it when Zechariah was in the temple. But at any rate, the real birthday of Christmas. That was probably sometime in the month that we know is September. And that, but regardless, tomorrow, like most of us, and that, I hope all of us, will take the time to spend some time, you know, before we open up the presents and think about the real Messiah. We're looking for a Messiah. Mm-hmm. But have we lost him under our Christmas tree? Because we're focused on the celebration. We're focused on the baby, the decoration, the going to airports. It's true. Now, you're probably asking yourself, oh, great Christmas message, Gary. You know, we came in here today and we wanted to be joyful, and you're bringing all this stuff down on us, convicting us. Okay, one, I'm doing it because that's what the Lord told me to do. But two, I think he's convicting me. I look back at pictures when my kids were small, and I look at some of those and I go, what were we thinking? We were baby believers in those days, and then it's like thought we were really celebrating Christmas. And looking back, I'm not even sure that we lost some of the real meaning of Christmas. And so I think the Lord is convicting me because, you know, even driving over here this morning, and I was praying driving over, which this time of year you always should be praying when you're driving. It's important. So weird things happen on State Road 70. But, you know, it's fascinating. I was focusing on getting this stuff ready for this morning. But the Lord kind of touched me. And I think I Lord is convicting me in it because I was so busy not decorating the house because our house is minimally decorated. And that, but I was so busy with the preparation. I was missing it. I was driving the car into the Lord. You know, I don't feel the emotional attachment I'm feeling here. There should be more joy in my heart. Someone's convicting me. And if it convicts you too, well, you know, you can deal with the Lord there. You know, but the conviction, you know, there's a difference. The devil condemns us. The Lord convicts us. And the difference is that conviction is to make us better. Not better, to make us happier as well, more joyful. If you're being convicted this morning, deal with it seriously. That's my advice. And that because the Lord wants to give you more real Christmas. He wants to give you more emotion, more feeling, you know, for the baby Jesus and the adult Jesus that saved all of us, lives in all of us in the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. This is a prime time to do that. Pastor Darren, you know, alluded to that a little bit ago in his comment. You know, Mary, as she was walking down, you know, riding the donkey down that dusty trail, and Joseph, they had a wonderful opportunity to testify to people. And sometimes our testimonies are almost unbelievable. And sometimes the Lord does really amazing things. I'd be remiss to say, you know, I don't know everyone here. Some I know better than others. But if there's anyone here who doesn't know the baby Jesus, yeah, I sure hope that you don't leave here not knowing him. And it's real simple. I mean, all you have to do is say, Lord, I want you in my life. I want you to make a difference. I want to know you. I want you to know me. You can do that quietly. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But I would tell you, though, that you do that, make sure you tell somebody. Tell somebody. Tell me. Tell Pastor Darren. Tell your best friend. Tell your spouse. Tell your kids. Tell somebody. And that makes it a little bit different. One final thought. You know, Pastor Darren, and he does it everywhere. I was with him yesterday at Katie's Cafe, right? And you know, he pronounces it Merry Christmas. And he does it for a reason. But I looked at that, right, and said, well, where did that phrase come from? Right? That phrase comes from England. Okay? England, if you go back into the 17 and 1800s, right, they would talk about to make merry, right, which in our parlance is to party. And so Merry Christmas really is saying, have a Christmas party. Right? Well, I would ask you, and I want everybody to have a Merry Christmas. Don't get me wrong. But I would ask you to consider having a blessed Christmas as well as a Merry Christmas. And so that's my wish for, that's my Christmas wish, my Christmas wish for all of you. A Merry Christmas and a blessed Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, there's no words to sufficiently thank you for what you've done, how you've redeemed us, that you sent your only Son that we might spend eternity with you. So I won't even try to put it into words. But Lord, I ask that you would help each and every one of us to love you all the more, that you would help each and every one of us to love that baby Jesus and the adult Jesus as well, Lord God. Father, touch the lives in this room. Don't let us leave here the way we came in. And Lord, I ask that everyone would have not only a merry, but that you give them a blessed Christmas and a blessed New Year. And I ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus.
And Gary, one thing too, I think, and, you know, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we're really celebrating the death, because that mission was accomplished, you know.
Say that again, that was the other mic, please.
I was just thinking that the birth is an amazing thing, and it was a miraculous thing, and prophecy was fulfilled, but it's not the birth alone, it's that he died for us. Without that, the birth is just the birth, but it is that prophecy was fulfilled. And so as we celebrate Jesus' birthday, we're really celebrating that death on Calvary. And I'm so thankful that my sins are washed away because of that. And so as we go to family members and as we are tried and our patients are tried in some families, as mine will be, that we can just give Jesus, not the birth of Jesus, but that he died for each one of us. And he died for those that we're going to be around this Christmas. And so I just... always reminded of that the birth was awesome and this miraculous thing, but the better part of it is that he died for us.
Yeah, well said. Thank you. Have a great Christmas, folks.